This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Hey guys, quick thing. The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by Mook Delivery, bringing you the food you love. Mook Delivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with Mook Delivery. So the only question left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can get reward points delivered too. So the ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. It's North London Derby Day in the Premier League, arguably the biggest derby of Arsenal's recent living memory, as they need to come away with 3 points in a ground they've managed just to do that once since 2012, last season, so plenty of reason for encouragement, but it's going to be by no means a simple task. Whilst we've got to talk about that and more, we've got to talk about the title race taking another twist yesterday with the latest Premier League results, and a certain somebody scoring not one, two, three, four, five, or even six, but 7 goals. This kid's special. This is the Arsenal News Show. Hello and welcome to the Gooner Talk Pack. I'm with you guys for another episode of what is our Arsenal News Show, joining you every single morning at 8 a.m. UK time. Thank you, as always, for doing so and making this a part of your morning routines. It's incredibly appreciated. I hope you've had a fantastic week so far, and I hope that you're having an even better weekend as well, because it's hopefully going to end in the perfect way. I know that always this is something of a, what's the word, an anxious morning, a fearful morning. Most people, I think, most Arsenal fans, I think, hate this game, just because of everything that usually tends to ride on this. The bragging rights, the frustration, the anxiety and fear that comes with it. But this more so is and has to be, from my perspective at least, the most important North London derby in recent living memory. I can't think of a North London derby that was more important than this. You have to go back, of course, I think a couple of years to when we sadly lost the race for Champions League qualification, when we went there and lost, then went to Newcastle, of course, and were beaten as well. But I think you have to go, you know, all the way back to 2004, when Arsenal last won the league at White Hart Lane, which is something that we've obviously done more than once. And I think this is arguably the most important North London derby since that very day. So an incredible high level of stakes are here, but it's exciting. I've got my North London Derby shirt on, which is a entirely black T-shirt, other than this this little Thierry Henry that you might see sliding. It's a North London Derby reference, and you should all know it. But yeah, very excited to be back in the hot seat and talking about football again ahead of this game. But we've got some more things to discuss as well, just like jumping into the chat box and saying good morning to people that are joining us. John, good morning to you, to Mr. Reed, to Otto Relay, to Jeffrey, to Kai, Angry. We've got Shari, Carl, Tony, Colin, Rich, Josh, Niels, David, Zimmern UK. We've got Martin, MA, Rich, Vivian, front row. I mean, hopefully we get a few roars from the front row a little bit later on. Loga, Dean, we've got Jean and Carrie-Anne. Thank you to everyone joining us. Really appreciate your time, as always. Do drop a like on the video and subscribe to the channel if you're new around here, with those notifications turned on so you never miss a show. Try and help us to 1K every single day. Yesterday, we managed to reach that target. Hugely appreciate it for that. Saturdays can be sometimes a bit tough. Sundays can even be tougher, especially on a match day. So please do, if you can, drop a like, and we can move on with our day happily. If you're listening on catch up, thank you. Shop over to YouTube and help us on our consistent battle to go through the whole of this season by hitting 1,000 likes from the point when we started this random daily challenge. Right, let's talk about it. Arsenal 9, Norwich City 0. Chido Martinobi scoring 9 goals. This kid is something ridiculous. Like, I'm sorry, but he is incredible. It's Obi Martin, by the way. It's incredibly difficult not to get excited when you see this level of talent producing these levels of performances. What I would say, and I think there is arguably a really good example of a player who did score a lot of goals. He, by the way, he's now broken, I believe, following Balogun's youth record of goals in a single under 18 season. But there is another player that I think it is worth pointing to. But to be fair, this player that I'm going to reference is still only 19 years of age. And that player is Youssoufa Moukoko. Now, Youssoufa Moukoko is a Borussia Dortmund youngster. He scored an incredible number of goals. In the under-17s Bundesliga West, he scored 83 goals in 50 games. In the under-19s Bundesliga West, he scored 44 goals in 23 games. And we're talking about under-19s level when he himself was much younger than that age bracket. He has 15 goals in 74 Bundesliga matches at the moment. He's still 19 and he's still incredibly talented. He's got a long way to go. But what I think that does provide in some senses is a kind of bit of perspective, if you like, and a bit of kind of a reference point to where we're at with a player like Obi Martin, who has still got a long way to go, but certainly needs to get that promotion to the first team. The under-21s team. He needs to get that promotion to the under-21s next season. And he needs to make sure that he is putting himself in a position where he's then delivering at that level as well. For those of you who are writing in Nketiah in the chat box, there's a tweet about the Balogun, I think, maybe you're responding to. So Chido Obi Martin has now scored 28 goals in just 16 games for the Arsenal under-18s this season, including 24 in his last seven, which is crazy, which is a new record for the club, surpassing following Balogun's 25 goals in the 2018-19 under-18s season. So that's where we are right now with this level of talent. Max Domann also played the 14-year-old in this under-18 side. He got one of the assists for Obi Martin's goals. Were Norwich very good? No, they weren't. They were pretty terrible. But if you've been able to see the goals, some really good finishing. And I think that there is something to be said about, I think Arsenal will certainly, well, they'll certainly be aware of this, but they'll certainly be looking at this and thinking about the idea of where the talent can go. But under-21s will be the next step for Obi Martin. He's already played at under-21 level, by the way, but he'll be playing more regularly in that level next season. And when you're in the under-21s team, it means you are only one step from the senior side. And players have, of course, got their debuts playing for the under-21s. Remember, Chidobe Martin is 16 years of age. Nwaneri made his debut at 15 in the Premier League. So Obi Martin's actually older than what Nwaneri was when he was making his debut. And Nwaneri is still incredibly young also. So it's worth not forgetting that he's only turned 17 in March, did Nwaneri. So yes, he's slightly older than Obi Martin now, but when he was making his debut in the Premier League, he's actually younger than what Chido Obi Martin is at this stage. Obi Martin turned 17, by the way, in November, in which he will be old enough to sign a professional contract with the club, for those that are wondering about the contract situation. Premier League action, let's round that up. West Ham, thank you very much, Hammers. Drawing 2-2 with Liverpool, basically ending their title hopes at this point. The Premier League will see Arsenal move 5 points clear if they indeed manage to beat Spurs today, with just 3 games remaining, effectively ending Liverpool's hopes of being in a title race whatsoever. And the game was kind of focused in on this bust-up between Salah and Klopp on the touchline just before he was being sent on. Salah, of course, in one of the biggest games, most important games of Liverpool season, to make sure their title race stayed very much on track. I think that what we're at with this is that, you know, clearly there's some unrest, clearly there's some frustration, and all of the emotion attached to Jurgen Klopp's departure is kind of moving in a very sour way now, which I think we can all be very delighted about. Fulham drew 1-1 with Crystal Palace, late equaliser in that game. Newcastle beating Sheffield United 5-1. Wolves beating Luton Town, a really important win for Wolves, a damaging defeat for Luton in their hope of staying up. Everton, meanwhile, getting an important win, which means they will stay in the Premier League. It also means that, of course, when Arsenal face them in the last game of the season, they will have nothing to play for. So hopefully that certainly leans into Arsenal's favour, if indeed that last game is still very important for the Gunners. And also, of course, we got to talk about Manchester United. Manchester United, the gift that just keeps on giving is Man United. They managed to blow a 1-0 lead against relegation threatened Burnley, who scored an 87th minute equaliser. Anana not getting away with what he did, I believe it was on the opening day of the season against Wolves. Very similar challenge, I think it was it on Dawson in that opening, was it the opening game for Man United, where Anana came out and basically punched a player, nothing given. In this moment, it was given, and Burnley scored the 87th minute equaliser. He also saved them, to be fair, with a really, really good stop. But Anana, again, just dearie me. That leaves Manchester United in sixth place. Newcastle are 1 point behind them with four games to play between the two of them. So it's going to be a real race. I think my money would probably be on Newcastle United getting that sixth spot. Seeing Manchester United in the UEFA Conference League would be one of the most glorious things I think I've ever seen. So let's keep those fingers crossed that Newcastle can get to the Europa League and Man United are sitting there down in the UEFA Conference League. And then the evening game saw Unai nearly go full Unai. 2-0 up against Chelsea, who Arsenal, of course, battered 5-0 in midweek. And then the turnaround happened. Conor Gallagher involved in all of it. Madueke, I think it was, with the first. And then Conor Gallagher curling in a fantastic strike to level things up. And then Chelsea thought they'd won it in the final moments. But in the biggest controversial decision of the weekend, a push on Diego Carlos was deemed a foul. Now, Arsenal fans have taken particular frustration with this because there is a lot of comparisons with the Newcastle scenario where Gabriel looked to have been pushed by Joe Linton. And for me, if you're going to give that, if you're going to say that's a foul on Carlos, it's got to be a foul on Gabriel. Like, it makes absolutely no sense. So disallowed goal for Chelsea. I would have rather Chelsea won this game. Reason being is that we kind of need Tottenham to have something to play for as they go into the game against Man City. They're now 7 points behind Aston Villa. They have three games in hand. One of them is against us. One of them is against Manchester City. But we kind of need them to have something to play for going into that game against City so they have a reason to actually turn up and try and win, because Manchester United certainly aren't going to be chasing them down in that fifth place spot. We could have done probably with Man United picking up a couple of extra points, ironically, now. But it doesn't look like that's going to be the case. So, yes, we do need Aston Villa to continue to drop points and keep Spurs somewhat motivated. It's a weird scenario, but it's the reality that we have. Today's games, Bournemouth against Brighton at 2 o'clock. Then, of course, it's the North London derby, Spurs against Arsenal. And then at 4:30, if indeed Arsenal have managed to overcome a very difficult test in Spurs, our eyes will be turning sharply to that Nottingham Forest game. This is arguably, besides the Spurs game, but I'm not holding out too much hope for that game, this is arguably the best opportunity Arsenal have got of seeing Man City drop points, potentially, because Nottingham Forest, of course, are desperately fighting for their lives. They're desperately fighting for points down at the bottom of the table. They need to get a win. If they get a win, it will push them away from that bottom three. It will put a buffer between them and Luton Town. They have got a game in hand on Luton, but they need to grab any points they possibly can. So we need Nottingham Forest and Nuno Espirito Santo and Nuno Tavares, who I don't think is fit, but we need them all to get together and repeat that scoreline of last season where they managed to get a very late equaliser. Chris Woods, I believe, who got the equaliser last season. We need them to get a result in this one. This is probably the biggest chance Arsenal have got. So, but focus first has to be on the North London derby. Arsenal needs to get the job done in North London and hopefully bring home the 3 points and send them 4 points clear again of City before they then play Forest 2.5 hours after Arsenal kick off their game. So, the Liverpool draw, as I mentioned, all but ends their title hopes. Big drama between Klopp and Salah. And it is ironic, of course, that all of the conversations about bottling it, Liverpool fans really giving it to Arsenal fans. Well, Liverpool have experienced the same level of bottling. Liverpool certainly have bottled the title challenge on their side of things, dropping points against sides they simply shouldn't have done at this stage of the season. When it really mattered, when the chips were down, the pressure got too much and they failed. And that is the reality. Arsenal may not win the league because of points dropped against sides like Villa, who are a good team, of course, but also Fulham and West Ham also in the festive period. But when the pressure was on at the end of this season, they've lost to Crystal Palace. They've drawn away at Manchester United. They've drawn to West Ham. And who was the other team that they lost to as well, I think more so recently? I'm sure there was somebody else. Not Fulham. Everton, of course. Just the other day, they lost to Everton in the Merseyside derby. So in Liverpool's recent fixture run, they have drawn, they have lost. They beat Fulham away from home. They lost to Palace before that. They won one of their last four games. Actually, they've won one of their last five league games because the Man United 2-2 draws before that. And at the end of the season, they have crumbled. They have fallen. And they've learned some very valuable lessons about being humble, I think. Now, the North London derby is the focus. That is where we will be talking in the second part of the show, the majority of this and our thoughts on that. Now, transfer lines, of course, will be returning tomorrow. We'll talk more about the result, of course, as well. Actually, the transfer stuff will be more so on Tuesday. Tomorrow, we'll have a show tomorrow morning breaking down the North London derby and the rest of today's results, which will have a huge... I think this is probably the most important weekend of the title charge for Arsenal and Manchester City this specific weekend. I think will have the biggest impact, perhaps, on the title race. If we can keep those fingers crossed, it all goes our way. Arsenal will be in an exceptional position as well. So can they do it? Well, Arsenal, of course, have got plenty of momentum. There's potential to see Jurrien Timber. A decision will be made on him and was made on him, I believe, yesterday. We don't know the outcome of that decision, but he could be with the squad. He may or may not be. So that's a big boost to see him in and around the group. We've also got Tottenham having Richarlison and Porro back, but they don't have Destiny Adoji. The narrative that they've had 14 days off. Arsenal played four games in that period. Who will get the benefit of being fresher, or will it be the benefit of being sharper? That is the question going into this fixture. But it's a very exciting one, and I, for one, can't wait to see it. 2 o'clock this afternoon. You can follow all the updates, of course, on the football.london website. I'll be doing the minute by minute. So keep your eyes peeled to the website if indeed you would like to keep up with it and you can't watch the game for whatever reason too. Right, let's go to part two and your questions then right after this. Okay, part two, which is the point in the show where we tackle your questions. So we're going to jump straight into the chat box and tackle some of your thoughts. Derek says, top of the morning to you, brother. I am seriously concerned about today's game. Bit of a worry. I don't have a good feeling about a game, if truth be told. It's absolutely normal, Derek, to have this feeling. It's a very typical feeling ahead of a North London derby. The only feelings, emotions that are normal for these days are nerves, anxiousness, fear, not because of Tottenham, just because of obviously the ramifications of what this game means. It is the most confident I've ever been, I think, going into a North London derby. And I said that, to be fair, ahead of the one at the Emirates, which we managed to mess up. We lost Declan Rice at halftime. I think that was the real turning point of the game. Had we have had Declan Rice, I think, for the entirety of the game, I think we would have been pretty comfortable. But Arsenal are in a very different place now than they were then. They're in much, much better form now than they were then. They're much more settled than they were then as well. So there's plenty of reasons to be very confident, I think, going into this game. Rob says, is there an aspect of limiting playing Obi for the other pre-17-year-olds before they're able to sign pro contracts so as not to attract other clubs before we tie them down? Rob, at this point, it's a lost cause. Other clubs know exactly who this guy is. There is interest from Ajax, from Borussia Dortmund. There's other interests, as far as I'm aware, from other European teams. A lot of English teams, to my understanding, are also very interested at looking at him. And it's just natural. It's part of the processes that teams do in scouting, at looking at youth academy projects and talents. And unsurprisingly, he is on the radar of lots of top clubs. It's the horse has bolted at this stage. The cat is out the bag. Everybody knows who he is, how talented he is. And Arsenal now have the challenge of trying to keep hold of him, which is a good place to be. You want to have the player at your club. It is the strongest position to be as a club, to have the player that you want to keep for the long term here. So you can have those regular conversations and access to the player in those talks. And you know, you've already shown that development and that consistency to give them that opportunity as well. So an Ethan Nwaneri thing, like there's a lot made of Ethan Nwaneri and the interest from other parties and other clubs. To my understanding, it was kind of blown a little bit out of proportion, that the likelihood was that he was always going to stay at Arsenal. And I think that was kind of blown a little bit out of perspective. It certainly was a lot more assured that he would stay than it was kind of made out to be for much of the build-up to that as well. Zaid says, morning, Tom. Don't you think that City would be under more pressure had Liverpool not dropped all these points recently? I feel like it's more challenging going up against two teams rather than just one. Of course, you could argue that. But to be honest with City, I don't think you can even talk about pressure, because they've done it time after time after time. They've got most experience of any team in the league of winning titles. The players that they've got have done it year on year on year. So I don't think that we have to concern ourselves with their mentality. It's not going to be pressure that causes them to bottle things.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. And the same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with Mook Delivery. Are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. It's just going to be the challenge of the opposition. It's just going to be a bad day at the office, and then that's what we've ultimately got to hope for. Asu says, I expect our game today battling against both the PGMOL and their biased decision making, allegedly, and Tottenham's version of football to be tense. But we got this, and you're absolutely right. There is real angst about the decision making of officials. I don't think it's naturally biased. That's not my opinion. I just think they're bad. I just think they're really poor as officials. And I ultimately believe that the decision making of officials these days is incredibly poor. And I think we saw that in the Chelsea Villa game yesterday. I think we saw that arguably. I mean, even on the women's side of things, we saw it with the Chelsea Barcelona game as well. So I think that. I'm going around in circles at this point. I've said this piece time and time again. Officials in England, and to be honest, most officiating across the board is just not very good. It's not a very good standard, and there is far too little accountability for the profession to make it so that we can get the best of the best at the top level. Nick says they will be emotionally charged. If we keep a cool head, then we should beat them. Real test for Arteta's game plan. JD says, question, why is it that when Arsenal fail to win the Premier League, they're labelled bottlers despite suffering a lot of injuries? But when Liverpool do the same thing, we don't hear a single word about them bottling it. And it's also worth pointing out that Liverpool got players back at important stages, like Curtis Jones coming back from injury. Diogo Jota came back, of course, has got injured again, but he came back during a period that they needed him and still dropped points. Jurgen Klopp has made some strange decisions with his lineups, of course, dropping Mohamed Salah for yesterday's game against West Ham before bringing him on when it seemed a bit too late. So they without question, if you're comparing Arsenal last season and Liverpool this season, and you would like to label one of them, and you were forced to label one of them as bottlers, certainly Liverpool are by far the better, far, far, far the better example. I mean, losing at home to Palace, losing away to a really poor Manchester United, drawing away at a really poor Manchester United side, losing an Merseyside derby that hasn't been lost as a game since who knows how long. I think Arteta was a player the last time ever to manage to beat Liverpool in the league at Goodison Park. And then, of course, drawing away what is being... I know West Ham have a decent season, but have been relatively comfortable for sides like Arsenal, of course, who beat them 6-0 earlier on this season. Yes, they lost at the Emirates, but in that reverse fixture, when the pressure was really on, 6-0 win, Arsenal were able to entail on West Ham. Rich says, Tom, if Xerxes signs, will a striker leave next season? How many stand between CMO and some of the minutes in the first team? That's Obi. I mean, next season, he's going to be another 21 player. So I'd imagine that if he performs really well at under 21 level, you might see him get some minutes in some of the cups. Maybe. It might be a bit of a stretch, though. In terms of Xerxes, I think Nketi is probably the biggest exit expected from that forward line in the summer. So that opens up a slot to sign someone for the forward position. Carl says, please, for St. Totteringham's Day today, let's pray. It's worth pointing out, of course, if Arsenal do win, I think even if they draw today, it means that St. Totteringham's Day has arrived. Spurs will be able to get a maximum of 16 points. We'll leave them on 76. Yes, indeed. If Arsenal avoid defeat, it's St. Totteringham's Day, but we need to win. We know that we need to win because that is what will separate us between us and staying in the race for the title. If we draw today and City win, they'll go top and they'll have also a game in hand. So they could, you know, go 4 points clear, which would be disastrous for Arsenal. So yes, we need to make sure that we win this game and we need to make sure that we stay ahead of Manchester City. But winning this game is indeed St. Totteringham's Day and also confirms Arsenal's Champions League qualification for next season, which isn't being talked about because we're in a title race. That's what we're going for. But it is certainly worth referencing for the second season in a row. Arsenal is expected that we will indeed qualify for the Champions League, which is what we've wanted. You know, we want to be back in the Champions League. We're back competing at the top level. We're back as a side that aren't just Champions League participants, but as a team that now are expected to challenge for that competition and will gain extra and additional experience going into that. So I'm very much looking forward to next season already and what the new form of the Champions League will look like for Arsenal. At least says, Tom, I feel like I've had a rotten mutton vindaloo, squeaky bum time. Hamza says, hi, Tom, do you think he'll stick with Partey or bring Jorginho? I think he'll stick with Partey. I wouldn't necessarily be surprised to see Jorginho come in, but I think that Partey is the better choice. Gunners Elite says, Tom, would you look to sell Jesus over Eddie? No, I wouldn't. they say, I know Jesus is a far superior player in terms of quality, but Eddie seems less likely to kick up a fuss about being our third choice. I don't necessarily think that Jesus has ever struck me as a player that is going to kick up a fuss. I spoke to him last year about the competition, the links to Ivan Toney. In fact, I don't know if I've still got that clip of Jesus. Where I actually did speak to him about that. I might have it somewhere, but he's spoken about it before. This might be it. If it is it, sit back and enjoy. If it's not, I'll stop it. But I think that it is.
Yeah, but you've scored in every single Champions League game you've played in the group stage. What is it that brings consistency to your game in the Champions League, and how do you translate that to your Premier League fixtures?
I don't know. It's hard to explain, you know. I said after the game against Argentina, and then people don't understand sometimes. But I said, and then people, you know, took out of contest and they say, oh, Gabi, he's no strong scoring. I say this, but in another way, you know, I have another qualities as well, but I can score, guys. Yeah. You know, like, I know I'm missing to score every game. It's not easy. Like a Brentford, we play against... five on the back, no a lot of chances. You know, I had one with the head. It was no easy. People don't see that. Sometimes people just go to score there and then see they score and who score, you know, don't see the game. And then I understand my game. And then obviously, like I said, I want to score every day if it's possible, hat-trick. But that's not the reality, you know. And then Champions League this year, I'm scoring every game. Premier League, I miss to score sometimes, but... Like I said, I'm getting better every day to improve on that. But like I said, it's not only my... If you tell my name, people say I'm not another things, you know, not just goals. So I'm happy with this, but also I want to score.
There's always a lot of talk about, you know, how many goals you score, and obviously you mentioned there about maybe your words being taken out of context, and there's also a lot of talk about Arsenal still being linked with other strikers as well. But it seems that maybe people underestimate what the role of a striker is. Do you think they do?
This happens, you know, like, I don't know, maybe it can be like Argent's business, you know, talking a lot of things. Like I said, I'm not the most experienced guy, but I think I saw a lot of things in football. And then sometimes it's like this, you know, happens that when I was at City, even with Agüero and me scoring, you know, Agüero was obviously the first one and me after. And then I was scoring a lot and people was linking everyone. So here, like I said, I don't care about this. I know what's my qualities and I know what I can bring to the team. And then, like I said, I can score. You know, it's one of, I think I can score, no guys? And then I can also help with another things, like open space. But like I said, the only people can see it is who watch the game and understand who.
So yeah, that's Jesus there talking to me. I think it was after, it might have been the Lawns game, but it was definitely a Champions League home game, which I spoke to him. And it's interesting hearing him talk about the fact, you know, he's played with Aguero, he's played with a lot of noise about strikers. It doesn't necessarily affect him, you know, in the same way. So I think that it's important to point out, if we are to bring in a striker in the summer, that it's not going to... It's not going to change, I think, his mindset. So Nketiah will, I think he should move on in the summer. You know, with respect, I just think that Arsenal need to move on to a higher level of quality forward. When you're against Bayern Munich and you're needing a goal, you need something more than what Nketiah has to bring from the bench. So and that has to change for next season. So I think Jesus will be a good option to keep, and I don't think he'll kick up a fuss as the previous question suggested. I think that it will be, very, very normal for that to happen. George says, do you think, considering Partey's injury record and wages, is it worth keeping him for the last year of his contract instead of getting a low transfer fee? Even half a season of him is worth it. I think that it depends upon very much the midfield market, what Arsenal do in the market. It depends upon the offers that come in the summer. There's a lot of context to this question around the midfield and where different pathways emerge for different players, both incoming and outgoing in that summer transfer window. If someone from, say, Saudi Arabia comes in with a big offer for Partey over the year left, I think you probably have to take it. Helps with reinvestment. It helps with balancing FFP and PSR. So that's worth taking into context. If Jorginho is to go, can you afford to allow Partey to leave? Is it better to keep him for another season? I think if it was me, of the two, I think Partey is probably the one that you'd say is harder to replace in regards to his quality. But Jorginho is probably the one that's easier to keep as a third choice behind Rice and another player, as opposed to Partey, because of the wages that he's on, because of the situation. That I think he will want to be playing football as well. So I think Jorginho, at his age and his experience, and of course his fitness levels as well, which have always been somewhat in question to a degree. I think there's more so it said that it could go either way. It's really 50-50 on those two. And it's another one I'm looking forward to seeing the conclusion of this summer. Let's go to Nick, who says, what do you think of Rashford as an option? Can go on the left or through the centre, even on the right, lots of potential ready to be unlocked. I think that with Rashford, if you can get him in, I think he'd have to take something of a wage cut to join Arsenal, to be honest. But if you can get him in, I think Arsenal do have space, actually, for a player on, you know, that you could give a fresh lease of life. There's without a doubt, I think it'd be mad to say to turn down the idea of Rashford, especially when there's not necessarily loads of options out there in the forward line. For the summer, with Premier League experience like Rashford does, and if you can give him a new lease of life, you can rediscover that form that saw him get 20 plus Premier League goals in a single season for Manchester United. You know, if you're looking back at this season now, he has admittedly struggled. He's got 7 goals and 2 assists. He's still only 26 years of age. If you go to last season, He got 17 goals and 5 assists in the Premier League. And, you know, that's 17 Premier League goals, I think, is the second highest in the Arsenal setup at the moment. The season before that, he did have these issues. He had started the season with injury, only played 25 Premier League games and only got 4 Premier League goals. But in the season before that, you're talking about a player that managed to get, if this thing's going to load for me, which I'm hoping it does any second now. This is the problem with technology when you're trying to do a monologue at the same time as you're trying to get stats up at the same time. Here it comes. You know, he got 21 goals in 57 games the season before that. Going really far back now. It's somebody that's scoring regularly, you know, he's scoring significant numbers of goals when he's in good form. 17 goals again, 7 assists. So he's getting, not 20 Premier League goals, but 20 goals across competitions or more is what he's managed to get on multiple occasions. So there might be better questions, but I think the people that are just immediately dismissing Rashford are those that probably have been a bit humbled by Kai Havertz this season. So it's worth always being a bit humble about that and recognising that just because you don't necessarily rate a player, if Arsenal go and get them, it's because they believe that they are the right signing. And we have been given lots of evidence to suggest that Arsenal know what they're doing in terms of recruitment. I don't know of any interest from Arsenal in Rashford personally. I don't know if it's a player that we're going to go for. But if they were to go for Rashford, I'd have absolute faith in them making that decision and would believe that it's the right decision because they've given me reason to be confident in their recruitment policy and in the players that we've decided to spend big money on. You still get the critics that like to throw your Willians, your Cedrics, your Pablo Maris, your Tavares around. But at the end of the day, these are players that cost us very little. When Arsenal have invested big money in players like Declan Rice, like Havertz, like Ben White, under Arteta, these are players that have delivered. These are players that have delivered for us significantly and have taken us to that next step. You know, Jesus is not going to be the future of Arsenal centre forward, but the signing of Jesus was important in levelling Arsenal up to a team that then qualified for the Champions League. We did that in Jesus's first season at the club. We achieved what we set out for and more. We competed for a title, which people didn't think that we would do. You know, you can't say that Jesus hasn't been a successful signing. He certainly has delivered what and helped to deliver what we wanted, which was to take us to that next step. And he did that, you know, so the signings that we've made, the business that we've done has taken us to those steps. And not only are we investing really, really well now, we're being able to extend players' contracts into the long-term future. And we're looking to be proactive in doing that on successive seasons. Gabriel, the current example of that, we're in negotiations with him over a contract extension after just renewing him last year, or just, I think it was either 22 or 23. But very recently, we only just renewed Gabriel's deal. And that shows progression. That shows where you're going in terms of a club direction. So you've got to be humble about any player that Arsenal link. So you've got to be humble about whoever we choose to sign, because you've got to put faith in what the club are doing, because they've given us very little reason not to trust the recruitment. I mean, those of you and, you know, even me to some extent with doubts that I had with Kai Havertz has been certainly proven wrong. Someone's asked a question about Mika Beareth, not a player. John says, how's Mika Beareth doing at Motherwell? He's not at Motherwell anymore, John. He left Motherwell in January. He joined Sturm Graz in Austria on loan for the rest of the season. And he had a very good start to life in Austria, scoring goals, playing in Europe, scored 3 goals in 4 UEFA Conference League games. He scored in the Austrian Cup as well. But in terms of his league form, it's dipped slightly. He scored 1 goal in his last 5 games. He has got an assist in those as well. And he scored 1 goal in his last 4 games, and he's got 1 assist in his last 4 games. Sturm Graz play today against Rebel Salzburg in a very important title clash. That's one to look out for. He will be expected to start that game, and he will have a big say in that. He failed to score in the reverse fixture when they lost at home to Salzburg earlier in the season. It's a big game in the Austrian Bundesliga, and we wish Sturm Graz all the best. Is someone who's a big, you know, admirer of Rebel Salzburg and their youth production, and I've got a couple of Rebel Salzburg shirts, but it would be great to see Sturm Graz win the Austrian league. It would be a real achievement of them to be able to do that, and of course for Mika Beareth to be a big part of that would be important. Now, looking at the table, they are leading the way by 3 points on Salzburg. So it's a huge, huge game in the Austrian Bundesliga. So that's one to keep an eye on today whilst you're doing. Ben says, how's Brook Norton Cuffey doing? He's doing okay. He's kind of fallen away a little bit in terms of kind of his availability for not availability, but just not necessarily being picked as much for Millwall. He was mainly a starter at the beginning of the campaign, but with the Championship season coming to a close very, very soon, he has fallen away in terms of his starts. He has started one of the last 9, 10 Championship games. So was highly rated, was highly appreciated. He's not going to be making it at Arsenal. I just don't see that happening. He's still a talented player that will probably get a move to the Championship as well moving forwards. Daniel says, do you believe that Romero will get sent off for losing his head and diving into a challenge? I hope so, as long as it doesn't injure one of our players. Troy says, when Arteta went and bought King Kai and the whole world wondered what was going through his head, but King Kai took the opportunity and smashed it, and I was surprised, says Troy. And that's why I said, I think you've got to just, to some degree, we'll talk about transfers, we'll assess things, we'll analyse things, we'll come to an early kind of judgment on the signings we make this summer, and we'll be doing these shows all the way through the transfer window, of course. So make sure you tune in every morning to get your transfer updates here. But of course, we'll pass judgment. But at the same time, every single time we talk about signing, we're going to have to defer some degree of patience to seeing how they get on, because Arsenal have given us very little reason other than to trust the recruitment that they have done in the past few seasons that has led us to where we are as a team today. So if you don't want Rashford, but Arsenal sign Rashford, which I don't think they will, but you know, so hypothetically, you've got to give them the faith, because they've proven to us that you should be giving them the faith in terms of their player recruitment. If they go out and sign somebody that really we were like, really? I think a lot of us said that when Havertz came in. A lot of us were like, really? That's a bit of a strange one to go for Havertz, you know, but he's proven so many people wrong and justified the decision made to go and sign him. So that's it's one to look out for. Anyway, I think that will bring an end to this morning's show. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening. I'll be back with you tomorrow morning for a breakdown of course, this afternoon's game, and, of course, some reaction to the other table-topping fixture between Nottingham Forest and Manchester City. So make sure you look out for that. Have a fantastic Sunday. I know it's very much predicated upon the result later on, but let's just manifest this win, shall we? Stay safe, stay well, stay happy and respectful. And as always, up the Arsenal. It's the 90 plus minute. All your mates around, and you've got a McNuggets share box ready to go, and you know a late winner's coming. Your mates already got booked for a double dip in, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfection. Order now on the McDonald's app for your McDelivery. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.